The following is a special edition of the Rob O'Donnell Show, presented with limited interruptions by Burke's Gun Shop and Brian Burke Auctions, veteran-owned. WILK News Radio.
The United States Navy maintains thousands of men and many ships and planes continually on station around the world.
You will have a chance to serve the cause of freedom and your country all over the globe.
During the last decade, America again permitted its military strength to decline. For the Navy, this meant going from almost 1,000 ships in the late 1960s to under 500 by 1980. A weaker America did not mean a more peaceful world.
To keep forces at peak operating efficiency,
the United States of America will always maintain our military superiority with capabilities that exceed the power of the next dozen navies combined.
American sailors are the best war-fighting sailors anywhere in the world, and it's not even close.
That was then. This is now.
Tensions are rising.
An ever-changing geopolitical environment.
The Navy says the Iranians shot at Richmond Voyager.
Surface warfare.
Bullets ricocheting, flashing in the sky above the tanker.
A distinguished history. An uncertain future.
Senator Tuberville's made his point, but I think we also need to confirm, given the dangerous world we're living in.
Intelligence challenges.
Navy Chief Petty Officer Bryce Predicini is accused of sharing classified information relating to the national defense.
Betrayal from within.
It's a betrayal of our country. It's a betrayal of the men and women of the U.S. Navy.
An American recruitment crisis. Current ship inventory. Air superiority. Personnel shortages. Political gains.
Welcome to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. My first guest, who's been on this show before, Commander Kirk Leopold, U.S. Navy, retired. These ships are not built in a week. They're not built in a month. They take decades sometimes to from fruition to actual launching them at sea. Currently, from what I gather, we have around 475 ships in active service and the reserve fleet, including 11 aircraft carriers. Can you tell us a little bit about the ship acquisition and that process?
Well, fortunately, Rob, from my experience in the Navy, I'm actually very familiar with it because I was the commissioning operations officer on USS Arleigh Burke, which was the first ship in the Arleigh Burke class destroyers that are really the backbone combatant of the United States Navy today. It took about 15 years, literally, as you said, from that inception and that idea going on to paper to become a reality when we commissioned that ship on July 4th, 1991. So the entire process for that to happen is full of so many changes and so many issues. But what you're seeing today is that many of those problems are not being addressed, and you can see it as being symptomatic throughout the nation. We are a maritime nation in the United States. And as a maritime nation, we should be the world's leader, especially given our capability, given our education system, given the kind of innovation that Americans have. We should be leading the world in the maritime world, on both the commercial side, civilian side, and on the military side. And unfortunately, we've not. I mean, as you pointed out with Ronald Reagan, I'd go back further. 4,000 ships in World War II, 1,000 ships in Vietnam War. At the height of the Reagan buildup, we just fell shy of 600. And today, active duty Navy ships, we're down to around 290, and they want to take it even smaller. The problem on that, on the flip side, just to give you a touch on the bureaucracy, is that 4,000 ships fought a war to victory with 100 admirals, a world war, broke the back of the Soviet Union in the mid-1980s with under Ronald Reagan, that set the groundwork for the Soviet Union to fall in the early 90s. Well, guess what? Just shy of 600 ships, we did it with 125 admirals. And today, I have around 290 ships, but I have over 400 admirals and senior executives running the Navy. So as a bureaucracy, we are putting our priorities in the wrong place.
I'm proud to bring on my next guest, Captain Kevin Miller, United States Navy retired. Captain Kevin Miller is a third-generation naval officer. Can you tell us a little about our current aviation platforms, their ages, missions, and where we're going from there down the pipeline?
Sure, Rob. We'll start with carrier aviation, what I'm most familiar with. The FA-18E and F Super Hornet got to the fleet over 20 years ago, and it just seems like yesterday, but they've been around for quite a long time. And we flew them hard. You know, we use the term, you know, fly the wings off them throughout the 2000s, the 2010s, over Iraq, Afghanistan, in Syria. Remember that with ISIS? And so we've flown them hard. They were loaded up with weapons. You bring back to the ship what you could, and that is stress and strain on the airframe. The airplanes are designed to last roughly 20 years, and their lives can be extended through extensive maintenance. Basically, you know, take the backbone out of the aircraft, if you will, and replace it all with time and expense. So, but the FA-18 ENF right now is our frontline aircraft. We are getting increased numbers of the F-35, the F-35C for carrier aviation, and of course for the Marine Corps, the F-35B. Highly, highly capable aircraft, fifth generation fighter. So we've been building those as a nation for the past 10 years.
My next guest, Rear Admiral James McNeil, U.S. Navy retired. Admiral McNeil, your expertise is in the Supply Corps. What is the logistics in supplying an entity the size of the United States Navy?
Wow, how much time do we have? And that's a very, very open-ended and broad question. What I'd really like to do is kind of just focus on the China fight, the China-Taiwan fight, if that's okay.
Sure.
And because I think that when we look at, you know, the current situation, you know, we have the war with Ukraine, you know, Russia-Ukraine war, we have the situation with Israel and the Palestinians in Gaza. But I think if the term that military people, senior military people say is, you know, what keeps you up at night, I think what keeps people up at night is the fight with China. And so what I'd like to do is perhaps, you know, go through four areas there and just kind of give a perspective that maybe folks, you know, aren't aware of. So first of all, and I didn't know this, so I'm excited to be on the show because I learned something today. What exactly is our commitment to Taiwan? Because I think the most people understand that if China attacks Taiwan, that that we have a commitment to defend them. And actually, it's changed a bit. We signed a agreement in 1979 that we pledged to provide them with what they call arms of a defensive character.
Honored to bring in my next guest, Rear Admiral Paul Becker, United States Navy, retired. Admiral Becker, thanks for joining the Rob O'Donnell Show today. Where do we stand as far as recruitment and personnel issues?
Yeah, overall for the Navy, we are not meeting our marks. And there are some niche areas like aviation where it's better than others. But across the board, enlisted ratings, and even in some of the officer ratings, we are not recruiting and retaining to the point where we can be 100% manned for all the platforms that we have. So that's a problem.
How does the Navy, in your opinion, address something like that? Where's the disconnect? The inflation is up. People need jobs. I mean, the job market is doing good. It's at one of its higher levels. What's the disconnect between the people of age to serve and actually signing that dotted line to serve?
I was just at the Naval Intelligence and Marine Corps Intel Training Command this morning. I spoke at a graduation there, so I got to speak with some of the staff and the new intelligence ensigns. As Jim pointed out, I'm a teacher at the Naval Academy and recently spoke with some former senior Office of Director of National Intelligence officials about this. And if I had to pick one broad input, it would be the military members don't feel that their service is imbued with the same sense of purpose and that power can eventually bring peace. It's not power to use it wantonly, but to use it with precision when necessary. And recent international events where U.S. national security strategy was put at the forefront, withdrawal from Afghanistan, half-hearted responses being in a reactive mode against Houthi missiles coming at us,